الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. After praising Allah and asking Him to raise the rank of His Messenger Muhammad and to grant him peace, we begin this week our third broadcast on Mirath Radio from the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from Al Masjid Al Awwal in America. And broadcast, recorded, not live, but recorded on Mirath Radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless the maintainers of that radio station and this masjid and the attendees as well. And all of those who listen online and all of those who listen to the recording and all of those who study the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. We continue this week, the 14th night or the night preceding the 14th day of Safar, the year 1436, we continue with a discussion of the word or of the verse number 25 from Surah Al-Qamar. بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشِرٌ. The statement of the disbelievers who rejected the message of Thamud, who rejected the message of Salih, the people of Thamud who rejected the message of Salih, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. And how they rejected him and how they responded to his invitation to worship Allah alone. It was through four false excuses, as we recall last week, right? All of that mentioned in the verse before that. أُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشِرٌ. أُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. And he has been specified to receive revelation amongst us. That statement meant we will not follow him because of this, because he has been chosen alone amongst us to receive that revelation. Our Shaykh, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him, he mentioned that included four false excuses. And they were, to review what we finished on last week, they were that firstly they assumed that Salih should have been an angel, or that the Prophet that would convey revelation from Allah should have been an angel. Meaning they were too arrogant to take the message from their Lord through a human being like themselves. And we mentioned the lengthy refutation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen of that idea, that angels are not human beings and they're not compatible with human beings. And they would have to change shape to appear as human beings. And then the argument goes back to where it started from, that here is what looks like a man conveying revelation, and he should be an angel. Well, he is an angel, but he's been made to be in the shape of a human being, so a human could be familiar with him and learn from him and not consider him to be something strange that is different. So their logic of he should be an angel, Allah should send angels, is firstly speaking on behalf of Allah, that Allah should send angels and not human beings, meaning to question the logic of Allah or the wisdom of Allah, let's say, to question the wisdom of Allah in sending human messengers to human beings. And furthermore, it is rationally unacceptable, as mentioned, that a human being needs another human being to be an example for him. How to use the bathroom, how to have marital relations, how to interact with people on a human level, eating, drinking, manners, all of these things are impossible for the angels to show us because they don't eat, they don't drink, they don't marry, they don't sleep, and so on. So how would we take a messenger from amongst the angels as our example to follow in life? We must need a human being. So logically, it's even unacceptable. Secondly, they said, what is it that gives him distinction? They were jealous of his status with Allah, that he was chosen as a messenger to convey the message. And so they questioned his status. And again, that returns back to the wisdom of Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal chooses the best of his creation. And they are in no position to question whom Allah has chosen. Thirdly, they said it should have been that messengers were sent, not just one messenger. As if to say, if it's going to be a human messenger, then it should have been two or three. It should have been multiple messengers and not just one. And the answer to this is like the previous two, that who are you to tell us how Allah should have sent his revelation? And they would use that in the past Allah Ta'ala did send 2 and 3 messengers sometimes to some nations. Not that Allah has now made that a requirement of himself when he sends revelation. And the fourth false excuse they offered for not following Salih was that they themselves had virtues similar to Salih, and they should have been selected, again, very similar to the second false excuse, that what is it that gave him his distinction? They said, we also have virtues, and we also have things that warrant being selected as messengers. So these were the false excuses by Thamud, the tribe of Thamud, or the civilization of Thamud before they were destroyed, for rejecting the message of their prophets. Then they said, Bal huwa kadhabun ashir. They said, rather, he is just a liar who is ashir. Ashir is batir, and he's someone who's arrogant, he looks down on the people. Bal, our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, on page 380, about one third down the page of the printed tafsir, that includes Juz al-Dhariyat, all of it, and some other surahs, he says, Bal huna li'ibtali da'wahu annahu haqq. The word bel here is used in Arabic. Bel means nay, or rather, or some contradictory phrase, contradicting what has come before. This is a negation of the claim that is made just before it. Right? So, he has been given revelation amongst us. They said, bel huwa kadhab. No, not that. Rather, he's a liar. Kadhabun, the word kadhab, sigat mubalagha, the sheikh says, sigatu mubalagha. Kadhab. The sigat mubalagha in sarf is fa'al, or one of them is fa'al. Like in Surah Al-Buruj, fa'alun lima yurid. Right? He is the one who continually, on an ongoing and uninterrupted and uninhibited basis, does whatever he chooses. Allah Azza wa Jalla. Fa'alun lima yurid. He's fa'al, not fa'ilun lima yurid. Fa'il, just he does. He does something. Fa'al, on that wazn, means continuously in an uninhibited and unrestricted manner does that action. So here, kadhab, this is a habitual liar, not just someone who lies, but a habitual liar, an ongoing liar. Not just a kadhab, not just a kadhib, but a kadhab. Sigatu mubalagha. وفي نفس الوقت وصف. It is also not only a very, very expressive form of someone who does that action, but it is a description of someone who lies. لأن كلمة فعال, the word or the scale فعال, تأتي للمبالغة وتأتي للوصف. It comes to show a very expressive way that verb is exercised, and it also comes just to describe someone with that verb or that description. فإذا قلت فلان نجار. These lessons, walhamdulillah, they increase your Arabic. As you see, we read from the words of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, and the Shaykh explains things linguistically, and I also add as much as I can to help an English learner bridge that gap between English and Arabic and try to understand the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and the words of some of his scholars. Fulanun Najjar. So-and-so is a Najjar. He's a carpenter. A Najjar is someone who does a lot of work with wood. بكثرت النجارة صارت مبالغة. And he mentioned in the audio, which was not transcribed here, he said حداد, like the word حداد. حداد means someone who works excessively with حديد, with iron or steel. Yeah? So he works with metals. He's a metal worker. He's a حداد. So he fashions metals. He might build weapons. He might shape swords and knives. He might build spears. He's a haddad. He works with metal. So he's a metal worker. And so that means a metal worker, what does he do? He shapes and works with steel and metal all the time. So his excessive connection to this steel makes him a haddad. فَهُمْ يَرَوْنَ وَالْعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنَّهُ كَذَّابٌ مَوْسُوفٌ بِالْكَذِبِ. So they, Thamud, considered Salih, may Allah's peace be upon him, to be a kadhab, and he's someone described with lying. لَيْسَ لَهُ صِفَةٌ إِلَّا الْكَذِبِ. Like to say, all he is a liar. He has no description except to be called a liar. Right? This is a prophet, and a prophet of Allah, Azza wa Jal. وَإِذَا أَوَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ ليس له صفة إلا الكذب وكثير الكذب أيضا. He's excessive in his lies. He's a bold liar or an audacious liar or a continual habitual liar. Ashir, their second description of him, that he's Ashir. Ashir is Aybatir, Muta'al, a person who looks down on others, someone who considers himself to be very high. Muta'alimun, Mustakbirun. Muta'alim, someone who views himself to be great, or he acts as if he's greater than everyone. And Mustakbir, the person who is haughty as he deals with others. Mudda'in ma laysa lahu, someone who claims status that he doesn't truly possess. Right? قال الله تعالى سيعلمون غدا من الكذاب الأشر. And Allah responds to this claim, defending his messenger Salih, saying, they will come to know tomorrow who is the real liar and the real arrogant person. That's verse number 26 from Surah Al-Qamar. سيعلمون غدا أي يوم القيامة. They will come to know tomorrow, and the meaning of tomorrow here is the day of judgment. والسين هنا للتحقيق والتقريب سيعلمون. يعلمون, they will know. سيعلمون indicates even a closer, you know, very soon they shall come to know. Very soon. The scene there indicates two things. تحقيق, an emphasis that it's going to happen, and that it's going to happen close. That it's close. سيعلمون غدا. لأنك إذا قلت سيقوم زيد. If you said, as an Arabic expression, سَيَقُومُ زَيْدٌ, Zayd is going to stand up, فَهَذَا تَأْكِيدٌ وَتَقْرِيبٌ أَيْضًا. This means that it's emphasized. This is something that you're confirming. And it's something that's going to happen soon. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ التَّقْرِيرُ مَعْرُوفٌ أَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. If someone were to say, in a way to seek explanation or to clarify the matter, we know that the day or the last hour is something emphasized and confirmed, like or that the hour is confirmed and there's no doubt about it. لكن كيف التقريب? But how is it that it's close? How is it that the day of judgment is to be described as being close? قُلْنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Then we would say in response to this question that Allah the Most High, or that Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. What is it that would make you know that the hour is something very close? That's from Surah Al-Ahzab, the 63rd verse. وَمِنَ الْأَمْثَالِ الْعَابِرَةِ كُلُّ آتٍ قَرِيبٍ. And from the phrases used in the Arabic language commonly, is everything that's coming is close. كُلُّ آتٍ قَرِيبٍ. Every single thing that's coming, we consider it to be close. وَالَّذِي بَقِي عَلَيْهِ أَلْفُ سَنَةٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنَ الَّذِي لَمْ يَمْضِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا عَشْرُ دَقَائِقٍ. Something that is 10,000 years old, is closer than something that hasn't had even 10 minutes pass by it. وَالَّذِي بَقِي عَلَيْهِ أَفَرْ. The one that has 10,000 years in front of it, or has 10,000 years left of it, is closer, meaning in the future, something in the future that's 10,000 years away, is closer to you than something that happened 10 minutes ago. Strange statement, right? Something that's 10,000 years in the future, right, is closer to you than what happened 10 minutes ago. To explain that. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي مَضَى عَلَيْهِ عَشْرَ دَقَائِقَ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَرْجَعَ. Because that thing that happened 10 minutes ago is not ever going to come back. It's gone. 100% out of your life. It's done. Right? لكن المستقبل لابد أن يأتي. However, that future, and in this case, even though it's 10,000 years in the future, in this supposed example, that's closer, or that's something that is confirmed, it's going to happen. Right? Now, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَآتْ. As Allah Ta'ala says, what you have been promised is verily going to take place. And that's from Surah Al-An'am, the 134th verse. And it comes from, or it's finished by, وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَآتٍ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. what you have been promised is close, and you're not going to be able to escape it from Surah Al-An'am. وَسُمِّيَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ غَدًا. And the Day of Judgment has been named here tomorrow. لِأَنَّهُ يَأْتِي بَعْدَ يَوْمِهِ. Because it's going to happen after his day, after that day of his, meaning this life. سَيَعْلَمُونَ غَدًا مَنِ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِرُ. He's going to come to know tomorrow who really is the liar and the arrogant one. أَصَالِحٌ هُوَ أَمْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِرُ. Is it that Salih was the liar, and the boastful, or the arrogant liar? Or it was them that were arrogant liars? وَهَذَا وَعِيدٌ عَظِيمٌ. And this is a great kind of threat, meaning a serious threat from Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّا مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala says, the people who oppressed, the people who engaged in acts of oppression, they're going to come to know what kind of future is coming for them, what kind of end result their lives for the people of oppression. That's from Surah Ash-Shu'ara. That's the very last verse of Surah Ash-Shu'ara. وَالْإِنسَانُ فِي غَفْلَةٍ عَنْ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ الْعَظِيمِ. Mankind is in a state of heedlessness as it relates to this great day. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah the Most High said, بَلْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فِي غَمْرَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا. Right? Rather, their hearts are in a state of heedlessness related to this, as it relates to this. يَعْنِي مِنْ عَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. As it relates to the actions that are for the hereafter. فِي غَمْرَةٍ مُغَطَّاتٍ عَنْ عَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That they are in a state of heedlessness, meaning wrapped up or closed off or sealed off by a cloth or by a barrier from the deeds of the hereafter. وَلَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ مِنْ دُونِ ذَلِكَ هُمْ لَهَا عَامِلُونَ. And this is from Surah Al-Mu'minun. Why do we say Surah Al-Mu'minin or Surah Al-Mu'minun? Why do we say Surah Al-Mu'minun but we say Surah Al-Mutaffifin? Why do we say Surah Al-Mutaffifin but Surah Al-Mu'minun and Surah Al-Kafirun? Why don't we say Surah Al-Mutaffifun? Why don't we say Surah Al-Kafirin or Surah Al-Mu'minin? Anyone know? Lughatan it's idafa, Surah Al-Mu'minin. It should be mudaf ilayh, Surah Al-Mu'minin. It's because that's how it comes in the ayat, iqtibas. It's called iqtibas. It's a quote directly from the ayat, like cut and paste from the ayat. So, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. The word is munafiqun, Surah Al-Munafiqun. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, Surah Al-Kafirun. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, it's Surah Al-Mutaffifina. Right? Naam. Iqtibas. Iqtibas is like cutting and pasting, or cutting the word out as it is without changing it. Right? They call it maqula as well in i'rab. When you say, for example, someone says, hadha Abu Zayd. And he says in response, ma ara Abu Zayd. This is Abu Zayd. And so in response you say, I don't see Abu Zayd, but you should be saying ma ara Abu Zayd. But you're quoting the word Abu Zayd. This Abu Zayd, I don't see him. Right? You should be changing it to Abba because of the grammar tense, but you're keeping it Abu Zayd to keep it as the way it was mentioned the first time. That's an angle for some i'rab, and that's basically what's happening here when we say Surah Al-Mutaffifin, but Surah Al-Kafirun. Right? It's the Surah that has the word Kafirun in the first part of it. Now, what else do we have like that? Wal-Munafiqun. And there's some others, but I forgot them right now. طيب. وَلَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ مِنْ دُونِ ذَلِكَ هُمْ لَهَا عَامِلُونَ. And there are deeds that they have other than that, that they do. And that's from verse number 63 of Surah Al-Mu'minun. يعني أعمال الدنيا هم لها عاملون. They have deeds of the dunya, worldly deeds that they do, that they keep themselves occupied with. وَأَتَى بِجُمْلَةٍ إِسْمِيَةٍ يعني أَنَّهُمْ مُحَقِّقُونَ لِلْعَمَلِ فِيهَا. And there's a sentence that's rooted or based on a noun here that's being used, and that has the benefit of saying that they are firmly grounded, or they actualize the work. They they're very proficient in that work that is related to the dunya, that's related to this worldly life. La yatrukunaha, they don't leave it off, they don't stop doing it, they don't abandon it, huh? Wala yufrituna fiha, and they don't behave neglectfully in how they do that worldly work. Wa amma al-akhirah fahum fi ghafratin minha. As it relates to the hereafter, then they are in a state of heedlessness about it. Inna, the next verse, inna mursilun naqati fitnatan lahum. And verily we have sent the she-camel to be a trial for them. Inna, the phrase inna, verily we, using the word we here, yani nafsahu jalla wa ala. Allah refers to himself alone using we. He is the mighty and exalted. وَأَتَى بِصِيغَةِ الْجَمْعِ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. And he mentioned himself in the plural, with a plural pronoun, we, in a way that exalts and honors him. جَدْلَ وَعَلَى, the mighty and most high. لِعَظَمَةِ صِفَاتِهِ, due to the greatness of his attributes. وَكَثْرَةِ كَلِمَاتِهِ, and due to the abundant speech that he has. وَكَثْرَةِ جُنُودِهِ, and to the abundant amount of angels and those who he sends to do things. فَلِذَٰلِكَ يُكَنِّي عَن نَفْسِهِ بِصِيغَةِ التَّعْظِيمِ, and this entitles him to refer to himself using plural pronouns. Inna mursilun naqati fitnatan lahum. Verily we have sent the she camel as a trial, as a test for them. يعني بعثوها فتنة لهم, meaning he sent it forth to them as a trial. واختبارا, as a test. هل يؤمنون أو لا يؤمنون, will it be that they believe or that they don't believe. فلم يؤمنوا, and they really didn't believe. وفي هذا إشارة. Where's Isa? Isa, there's an إشارة here. Hey, there's an ishara. وفي هذا ishara. In this verse, there is an ishara to something. إلى أن الله تعالى, and that is to the fact that Allah the Most High قد يظهر للإنسان من الآيات ما يؤمن على مثله البشر. It's an ishara that Allah had occasionally given a person ayat, clear signs like miracles, so that when people would see that from this human being, they would believe in that miracle and believe in Allah. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَكْبَرَ كَانَ اسْتِكْبَارُهُ عَنْ عِلْمٍ, so that whoever was arrogantly rejecting the message did so upon clear knowledge, because he had a miracle shown to him. He had clear proof in his face. Yet he did so, he rejected based on knowledge. فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتُهُ فَكَانَ إِقَابُهُ أَشَدَّ وَأَوْجَعَ. So therefore, the ishara here is that as a result of someone who rejects after seeing a miracle, he rejects a messenger, then his punishment must be more severe and more painful. For someone who rejects a messenger after seeing his miracle versus someone who is being told about a messenger and rejects him, the one who has seen the miracle at the hands of that messenger must be deserving of a more severe and more painful punishment. وَلِهَذَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ النَّاقَ فِتْنَةً. And that's why Allah described the naqa as a fitna. He described the naqa as a trial for them, meaning that it was something that if they believed in it, they would be saved. If they didn't believe in it, more punishment, very heavy punishment would be coming for them for seeing this she-camel as a miracle and not believing in the one who sent it. لِأَنَّهَا أَظْهَرَتِ الْحَقَّ لَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَمْ يَقْبَلُوا. Because this she-camel, the miracle of the she-camel, made the truth apparent to them. However, they refused to accept it. وَانْتَبِهْ لِهَذَا الْإِسْتِدْرَاجِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Be aware of this kind of istidraj from Allah. What's istidraj? Gradually leading someone into a punishment by giving them and favoring them with things while they disobey. That's called istidraj. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Right? Is that right? Where is that surah? Al-Qalam. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ. We're going to give them, we're going to put them through istidraj. We're going to lead them into the punishment by giving them things, by providing for them even while they're disobedient and not punishing them in the state, in their state of disobedience. That's important to note, that just because you haven't been punished for something you've done in secret or something that Allah knows about, you've done something that you feel guilty about between yourself and Allah, and Allah has not punished you in this life, it does not mean that you are free or that you have been excused for that or that you are exempted from being accountable for that in any way. But rather, it could be istidraj. It could be entrapment, basically. Being led into a punishment by Allah Azza wa Jal that is based on your sinful behavior and your hypocrisy of action. Wahiya, where are we here? وَانْتَبِهْ لِهَذَا الْإِسْتِدْرَاجِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Look out for this istidraj that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic. إِذَا يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ أَسْبَابَ الْمَعْصِيَّةِ. If Allah allows disobedience to be something easy for you, فَلَا تَفْعَلْ, then don't do it. Don't fall for that. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رُبَّمَا يُيَسِّرْ أَسْبَابَ الْمَعْصِيَّةِ لِلْإِنسَانِ فِتْنَةً لَهُ. Because Allah may make the ways or the way to disobedience easy for a person as a trial for him. أَرَأَيْتُمْ أَصْحَابَ السَّبْتِ. Did you not see, do you not consider the people of Saturday, the people of Sept, what are they? They're the Jews, right? The day of Saturday was forbidden for them to work and seek provisions on that day, on Saturday. مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, from the children of Israel. يُسِّرَتْ لَهُمْ أَسْبَابُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فِتْنَةً. They had the ways to disobedience were made easy for them, meaning disobedience was brought right to them and put right in front of them, right, as a test for them. وَهِيَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَيْدَ السَّمَكِ يَوْمَ السَّبْتِ. It was that Allah had made haram on them fishing on Saturdays. فكانت الحوت تأتي يوم السبت شرعا على وجه الماء وبكثرة عظيمة. الله أكبر. So the fish would come on Saturday, right? At the surface of the water, you could just grab them. At the surface of the water, very easy to catch, and in large numbers, right? With very large numbers. لكنهم ملتزمون لم يصيدوا السمك في يوم السبت. However, in the beginning, they would stick to the order, and they would not fish, they would not go after these fish, right, on Saturdays. فَلَمَّا طَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ عَجَزُوا عَنْ مُلْكِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. As time went on, they became unable to hold themselves back from going and getting those fish. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَى طَبِيعَتِهِمْ وَهِيَ الْغَدَرُ وَالْحِيلَةِ وَالْمَكَرُ. So they went back to what they are known for, their base, that is, betrayal, trickery, and plotting. What did they do? فَاحْتَالُوا عَلَى صَيْدِ السَّمَكِ. So they thought of a plan to fish on Saturday anyway. صَارُوا يَجَعَلُونَ شُبَّاكًا يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ. They made a big net, or many nets to be out there on Friday. They put them out on Friday. فَتَأْتِي الْحِيتَانُ وَتَدْخُلُ فِي الشُبَّاكِ. So the fish would come and gather in these big nets. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْأَحَدِ أَخَذُ الْحِيتَانِ. So then on Sunday, after Saturday was finished, they would come and take all of the fish from the nets. وَهَذِهِ حِيلَةٌ وَاضِحَةٌ. This is a trick, a clear trick to get around the prohibition of fishing on Saturday. فَقَلَبَهُمَ اللَّهُ قِرَادَةٌ. So Allah Azza wa Jal changed them into monkeys. Allah transformed them into monkeys. قال الله تعالى لقد علمتم الذين اعتدوا منكم في السبت. You know about those who transgressed on the day of Saturday. فقلنا لهم كونوا قردة خاسئين. And so we said to them as a result, be monkeys. Become monkeys in a disgraced fashion. وفي صدر هذه الأمة حرم الله على المحرمين الصيد. And in the very beginning of this ummah, meaning in the very beginning of the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah declared hunting to be haram on people who are in a state of ihram. People in a state of ihram in the text, jazakallahu khairan, means one of three cases. A muhrim is a person of ihram. He's either a muhrim because of A, B, or C. A, he put on ihram and intended to be a muhrim. He has the ihram clothing on and he's in a state of ihram by his intention, with the clothing and the intention to perform Hajj or Umrah. That's a muhrim. The second kind of muhrim is someone who is in the precincts or the boundary of Mecca. He is a muhrim because ahrama bidukhulihi ila Mecca. He has entered Mecca, the city limits of Mecca, so he's a muhrim. He's a person of ihram. Or he's in the sacred months. Any person in Mecca, wearing ihram or not, in Mecca or outside of Mecca, any person in Ashhur al-Hurum, in the sacred months, then he is a muhrim as well. So a person is described as being in ihram in any one of these three ways. So in the beginning, they were prevented from hunting in the city of Mecca and in the garments with the intention of ihram for Hajj and Umrah. I don't believe that they were prevented from hunting in the months of the Hurum, the sacred months outside of the city of Mecca, that is. So we have a similarity here to the Jews, that we were forbidden as well from hunting. Sa'id and Sa'id. Sa'id is hunting, Sa'id is Samak is fishing. Hunting fish. Right? Fishing. So we were prevented from going after any game, and they were prevented just from fishing, a very specific kind of game hunting, that is fishing. Tayyib. What's the difference between us and them? لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ. That's what Allah revealed. Don't go after game, or don't kill game in hunting whilst you are in ihram. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ الصَّيْدَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَهُمْ مُحْرِمُونَ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَرِمَاحُهُمْ. And whilst on their way in the state of ihram, Allah sent in front of them game animals, right in front of them. What kind of game animals? Or how close were they? So close they could touch them and stab them with their spears if they wanted to hunt them, which would be normally, you know, an amazing success in hunting. Right? يعني أن الذي يمشي على الأرض يمسكونه باليد مثل الأرنب والغزال. The game animals that you would hunt for, you know, in hunting, they came in front of them like rabbits, or like a gazelle would come in front of you and be, you know, docile and peaceful. يمسكه الواحد باليد. Someone could just go and just take it with their hands. Subhanallah. وَالطَّائِرُ الَّذِي كَانَ لَا يَنَالُ إِلَّا بِالسَّهْمِ لَأَنُّهُ بَعِيدٌ صَارَ يَطِيرُ وَكَأَنُّهُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Birds that you would hunt would be high in the sky. You would not be able to get them without shooting them down with arrows. They would be on the surface of the ground, walking in a way that you could just grab them. Subhanallah. الرُّمْحُ يُدْرِكُهُ. You could just spear it right there. Take a spear and just take the bird. فِتْنَةً. This was a fitna. This was a test and a trial for the believers. فَهُنَا يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَسْبَابَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. Here's, look at how Allah made for them the way to disobey, very easy. Right in front of them. لَكِنَّ الصَّحَابَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَهُمْ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ. However, the companions, the best of people, may Allah be pleased with them. لَمْ يَأْخُذْ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ صَيْدَةً وَاحِدَةً رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Not one of them hunted one game animal. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with all of them. وَهُمْ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ. بَيْنَمَا بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ تَحَيَّلُوا وَخَادَعُوا اللَّهِ. However, it was the children of Israel that would deceive, trick and try to deceive Allah. أَمَّا سَلَفُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. As for the early generations of this ummah, وَفَّقَنَ اللَّهُ لِمُوَافَقَتِهِمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي أَعْمَالِهِمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَأْخُذُوا. May Allah Ta'ala grant us success in corresponding to their kinds of actions in this dunya and in their actions and in the hereafter, in their abodes. May Allah give us closeness to them. And verily these people, they did not, you know, hunt that game at all, even though it was right in front of them. a point here that I'm going to add to the tafsir of the Shaykh here. And that's in the books of fiqh, in the larger books of fiqh, they discuss the issue of if you're a muhrim, you're going on your way to make hajj and umrah. You're not allowed to hunt. So how do you eat? Well, you don't eat game animals. You can eat vegetables. You can eat meat that you brought with you. You can eat the meat that other people slaughtered that aren't muhrim. Right? Tayyib. The scholars of fiqh said not even can you go like this. Make a gesture that there's a game animal available over there. If you're a muhrim, you can't take part in the hunting in any way whatsoever. So if you saw a gazelle and you're hungry and your people needed it and it's over there, you have to remain neutral and not gesture over there like, you know, come on, look guys, you can't give them any assistance because even pointing or gesturing towards the game makes you part of the hunt. So that's how serious that we have been forbidden from hunting. And how much the scholars of fiqh have discussed the issue in very detail. Not even a gesture with the head, not even a point with pointing with the finger, nothing. You are not allowed to be in any level of hunting as a muhrim, as a person who's assumed the state of ihram to perform hajj or umrah. Tayyib. And so if you did, they said it's not permissible for you to eat any of that meat. If you did that ishara, if you did that simple gesture with your eyes. And you might even do it without thinking. Because here you are in ihram, and you would normally go right after that game animal. And so you sort of indicate or you look at it. If you assisted anyone who's allowed to hunt in hunting, then that game is not permissible for you. You may not eat from that game. Tayyib, our sheikh goes on. One more point before we go on with the words of the sheikh. There's a refutation in this to a modern day issue. Is that some people, they say, I have certain skills that Allah blessed me with. Have you heard this? I'm a pianist. I play the piano and I make beautiful music. Right? It's a gift from Allah. This is, you hear this in Egyptian type of talk in terms of from amongst the Muslims, you might hear this. They say, I am a person who's been gifted with a gift, musical talent. I can play the flute, I can play the piano, guitar, whatever. Or any other number of haram things that a person feels he's gifted in favor of that. Some guys are charmers and they can pick up women. You know, they're good at it. Does that make fornication halal for that person? I mean, a logical question, that's pretty easy. A guy's got game. A guy's good looking. He can go to any woman and say a word or two and have her in his hand, have her eating out of his hand. That's a gift. Not everybody can do that. You say a gift, real figuratively. I mean, it's a skill and it's a special quality of a person. But does that make it permissible? Because some people have it and some people don't. Would you allow a person here to say, look, this is a blessing I have. This is, you know, a gift. This is a, you know, special thing just for me. How can I leave it? How can I leave this gift that I've been given? You know, the same way we say the same answer to those who have other so-called gifts by which they could disobey Allah. Some people are good at drawing human characters. Human characters, funny, you know, imitations of human beings and stuff. We would say to them, you know, don't use the line that what am I going to do with this gift? You're being tested in this dunya. Yes, you have abilities to do things. Look at this. They were given game animals right in front of them. It didn't make them permissible. They didn't say, well, how can we turn away these blessings from Allah? They said, this is not permissible, and they refrained. The homosexuals, they say, how can I, you know, this is the way I was made. I have this, you know, this inclination. I want to be with another man. Wali'adhu billah says that. This is the way I am. How can I turn this away? How can I reject my nature? How can I, you know, how can I reject the way I've been made? What's the response? Very easy. And this can open the doors for a lot of people with the large number of homosexuals that are out there. We say, you have cravings like everyone else has cravings. Not one person exists except he craves something that's haram. And everybody has a different set of cravings and whims. You're not responsible for the filth of the nature of the cravings, so long as you don't act on them. So all you need to do is recognize what's halal and what's haram according to Allah's religion. Seek refuge with Allah from those inclinations to do what is haram. For a man to go and be with another man is haram, just like it's haram for a man to go and drink alcohol. Just like it's haram for a man to go and smoke a reefer. Just like it's haram for a man to sell alcohol. Like it's haram for a man to take riba. These are the limits that Allah has set. You stay away from all of them. You don't say, well, I don't do homosexuality because that's nasty, but you have a house on riba, and you have this, and you have that. Any violating the sharia of Allah is going against the order of Allah, and all of it is a crime with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we invite homosexuals, and we invite heterosexuals, and we invite homeowners with mortgages on riba, and we invite all of the people who've gone beyond the limits that Allah has set for them to fear Allah within themselves and abandon the whims that lead them into disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it should make a person, I've always felt this way, a person who's got really filthy inner whims, just things that you would hate to even mention. Each person has his own test. The Sahaba, they said, we have in our minds, we have things that we think about that a person could never even bring to his lips. We find this within ourselves. What do we do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَجَدْتُمُوهُ. You found it, like you've identified this in yourselves? And they said, yes. He said, ذَاكَ سَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is the very essence of Iman. The fact that you locate, you identify a whim that is filthy, that's really bad and nasty, and you've identified it, and you're worried about it. That's Iman. That's faith. In practice, right there. And you repel it. You seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. And you repel it, and you ask Him for safety and for refuge from falling into something like that. Very important point. So we don't accept that someone says, I'm gifted, or I'm made this way, or I have this thing naturally, or this is how Allah made me with these kind of things and inclinations and all of that. That's your test. That's your test. Just like this person is tested with sexual whims, another person is tested with insincerity and seeking fame. Another person is tested with women, another person is tested with money and oppressing people to get in a position of financial power. Everybody's got their inclination to disobey Allah, and everybody's fighting that. Otherwise, this dunya wouldn't be a test. If anybody had whims and desires that were totally in tune with the revelation of Allah, then his existence in this life would not be a test. He wouldn't, based on that, he wouldn't deserve any reward either, because he never had to prevent himself from doing anything that he wanted to do. Everything he did was just perfectly in tune with what Allah wanted. Who are these beings? There are beings like that. There are creatures who everything they want to do is exactly what Allah has ordered. They're angels, right? And they're not human beings, and they're not jinn. But jinn and mankind, they've been created to worship Allah. They've been created in a state of a test, right? So they have inclinations, they have whims, they have desires to disobey Allah. And their job, or their, if they recognize their purpose, then they reject those whims and work against them. وَهَذِهِ النَّاقَ, our shaykh goes on, وَهَذِهِ النَّاقَ, this she-camel, أَرْسَلَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِتْنَةً لِثَمُودِ. He sent it as a trial to the tribe or the civilization of Thamud, لَكِنْ مَا أَغْنَتْهُمْ. However, it was not enough for them. إِنَّا مُرْسِلُ النَّاقَةَ فِتْنَةً إِنَّا مُرْسِلُ النَّاقَةِ فِتْنَةً لَهُمْ فَارْتَقِبْهُمْ وَاسْطَبِرْ. As Allah tells His Prophet, verily we sent this she-camel as a trial to them. So watch them, watch, you know, stand guard and watch them and be patient. That's the end of the 27th verse. أي ارتقب عذابهم, wait for and look to their punishment. أو ارتقب, ارتقب أفعالهم, or look to, look forward to their actions. One Lord, ماذا يفعلون, and look to what they're doing. واصطبر, and be patient. يعني اصبر, be patient. وأصل الصبر استبر بالتاء للمبالغة, بالتاء للمبالغة. The original word before it was changed, before it underwent a قلب, عليك السلام ورحمة الله, in the rules of صرف, which is a science of the Arabic language. Istabara comes from istabara, with the alif and the ta being extra letters, the base, the three letter base being sabar, sad, ba, and ra. The ta and the alif being added. Istabara. Then the ta was changed to a ta to match the sad, as they say in ilal sarfiya li qurbi makhrajihima, due to the closeness of those two points of articulation, the ta and the sad. It's easier to put a sad with a ta than a seen with a ta. near the bottom of page 282, لَكِنْ قُلِبَتْ التَّاءُ ثَاءً لِعِلَّةٍ تَصْرِيفِيَّةٍ اِقْتَضَأْتَ اللُّغَةُ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ. And I've explained the meaning of that, how the ta turned into a ta because of a sarf rule. Sarf is morphology, as they call it in English. The science of looking at the individual letters of inside of one word. And the science of looking at the relationship of words to other words is called nahu, grammar. And the relationship of ideas to the passage is called balagha, right? The ideas or rhetoric, using rhetoric, making the sentences have powerful meanings and so on. That's called balagha. These are three of the most important sciences of the Arabic language. يعني أن الله قال لرسولهم صالح عليه السلام. The meaning of that is that Allah said to their messenger Salih, may peace be upon him, ارتقب هؤلاء, wait for and watch what's going to happen to these people, واصطبر, and be patient, فالنصر قريب, as victory is close. ونبئهم أن الماء قسمة بينهم. And another order, or directive from Allah to Salih, inform them that the water source, the water that is to be consumed, is shared between them, meaning between the people and the she-camel. أخبرهم أن الماء قسمة بينهم كل شرب كل له شرب وللناقة شرب. Inform them that there has been a distribution of the water between them and the camel, and they'll have a day, they'll have a time to drink, and the camel will have the time to drink. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ كُلُّ شِرْبٍ مُحْتَضَرٍ. Every drink will be muhtadar. Right? Every drink will have its, muhtadar. Every drink will have its time. Every drink will have its place. يعني كل شرب يحضره من يستحقه. The meaning of that is, every time there's a drink, it will be that someone comes to drink it at his appointed time, the one who deserves to drink at that time. إما الناقة وإما هم. Whether it is the she-camel or whether it is them, the people. وبقوا على هذا. And this is how they stayed for some time. لكن لم يستمروا. However, they didn't continue for long upon this way. فنادوا صاحبهم. So they called for their companion. They called for their companion. الذي يرونه قويا شجاعا. The one that they considered to be strong and brave. وقالوا له هذه الناقة ضايقتنا. This is a she-camel that has disturbed us or has made us, you know, taken some of our water. لو أننا عقرناها لكنا نشرب كل يوم. If we would just slaughter this camel, then we could get water every single day. We could get water every single day. And look at the ingratitude, just as a note and of commentary based on what has already preceded, that the she-camel was producing milk for them based on every drop of water it drank. So as soon as it drank the water, it would produce milk immediately from the, in the same amount. So were they losing any water in reality, just to know their case here? Were they losing any intake of fluid? No, because they would have water one day and milk the next day. And which is better, to have water one day and milk the next day or water all the time? Look at this, water one day, milk the next day, then water, then milk, to have that as a variety of your liquid intake, subhanAllah. So they had this ni'mah and they wanted what? They wanted to kill the she-camel so they could go back to having water every day. Reminds you of the Jews. When Allah gave them al-man wa salwa, food from the heavens descended upon them, what did they want? Onions, mushrooms, turnips, things come out of the ground. Allah has given them gifted food from the heavens that would descend upon them. They want to give us bakhal, give us, you know, qitha, give us garlic and onions and things like that. You know, stuff that comes out of the ground that grows anywhere. Aywa. They wanted these kinds of food, and that's why their prophet said to them, ihbitu misra fa inna lakum ma sa'altum. Go anywhere, in any city. It doesn't mean Egypt. Ihbitu misra means any Misr, any Medina, any city. Ihbitu misra, and that's the fa'idah of Misra versus Misra. If it's Misra with just a fatah on it, it would be the city of Egypt. If it's Misra, it means any city.
اهبطوا مصر. Go to any city and you'll find garlic and onions. Allah had given you as a blessing, as a favor from Himself. What you turned away from and you requested your prophet to ask Allah for onions. Allahu Akbar. They used to ask their prophet to ask Allah for the most lowly of things. And it wasn't because they really craved them, it was their disrespect and their lack of manners with their prophet. As if to joke with Allah and joke with the relationship of this man with Allah. They would say, go and ask Allah for onions. As if to say, you know, get out of here. Tayyib. So they said to their companion, the one that they wanted him to slaughter, the she-camel, to go slaughter it, because if we slaughtered the she-camel, we could have the water all the time and we wouldn't have to share it with the she-camel. And you've seen what's behind that desire. فَطَلَبُوا مِنْهُ أَنْ يَعْقِرَهَا نَسَلَ اللَّهُ الْعَافِيَةِ They requested him to go and slaughter the she-camel. We ask Allah for safety. وَهَذَا صَاحِبُ الْقَوِيِّ الشُّجَاعِ الَّذِي يَرَوْنَهُ أَشَّدَّ مِنْهُمْ إِقْدَامًا And this individual, يرحمك الله, this individual who was strong and brave, the one that they considered to be the most, you know, the most audacious of them to go forth, you know, against the order of a prophet amongst them, بقطع النظر عن اسمه, whatever his name was, فبعض المفسرين سماه, some of the scholars of tafsir named him with a name, right? لكن لا يهمنا لم يتأخر. That's not important. His name is not important. What's important is he went directly and he slaughtered. He was audacious. He was very bold. He went directly to the she-camel, بل بادر, went directly to it without wasting time, فتعاطى فأقر. Right? تعاطى means he did the actions, he put forth the actions that one needs to do to slaughter, and then فأقر, and then he slaughtered him. تعاطى تفاعل من العطاء يعني بذر نفسه وبسرعة. He acted quickly and gave his whole self, all of his power to doing this action. ويدل على سرعة الفاء في قوله فتعاطى. The فاء here shows he went immediately and with direct intent at that time. من حين نادوه, right as soon as they called him. There's a fa. They call that fa in Arabic ta'aqibiyya, the fa that indicates a direct action that happened right after something else. Fa, fa'al kada, fa fa'al kada. Then the fa means right after that, this happened. Wafaqa, and he agreed to do it. Fa'aqar, and he slaughtered it. And he aqara naqa, nasal Allah al-afiyah. Qatta'a atrafaha awwalan, thumma nahraha thaniyan. First thing he did was, he cut off the limbs before he slaughtered it. And then he slaughtered it. وَهِيَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And it was a disgraceful way of slaughtering an animal. And this was from the miracles that Allah had given the people. Allah the Mighty and Majestic had given the people. وَمِنْ مَصَالِحِهِمْ And it was in their benefit to keep the she-camel alive. Look at the milk every other day they would get from the she-camel. لَكِنْ نَسْأَلَ اللَّهُ الْعَافِيَةِ However, we ask Allah for safety. نفوسهم لا تقبل. It was that their inner desires, their souls did not crave, did not desire to agree or to correspond. فكيف كان عذابي ونذر. Then Allah asked this rhetorical question here. So then how was my punishment and how was my warning? Look at the punishment and look at the warning that preceded it. يقول الله, or look at the warning that goes along with mention of the story as well. يقول الله عز وجل مخاطبا الإنسان Allah says, and He's the Mighty and Majestic, addressing all of mankind, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذُرُ So look to how my punishment was and the warning is. هَلْ وَقَعَ مَوْقِعَهُ Did the punishment come down and take place as it should have? وَهَلْ كَانَ شَدِيدًا And was it a severe punishment? الْجَوَابُ نَعْمُ نَعْمُ It was indeed, yes it was. كَانَ فِي مُوْقِعِهِ That punishment was in its place. وَكَانَ شَدِيدًا And it was severe. مَا هَذَا الْعَذَابُ What was that punishment? إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا We sent down upon them one screeching sound or one loud sound. صِيحَ بِهِمْ وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ There was a screeching loud sound made for them. And Allah's refuges saw it. مَعَ الرَّجْفَ With an earthquake. فَهِيَ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ أَصْوَاتٍ And there was a sound or sounds coming from the heavens. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ رَجْفَانَ And the earth was trembling. أَخَذَتْهُمَ الرَّجْفَةُ وَالصَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ And so Allah
took them by the earthquake and by the wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah and by this terrible sound, and they were laid out as dead bodies in their own homes. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, as if they had never existed to do anything. كَأَنَّهُمْ مَا وُجِدُوا, as if they were never there, as if they were never alive. فَكَانُوا كَهَشِيمِ الْمُحْتَضِرِ, they were like هَشِيمْ مُحْتَضِرِ, يعني الْحَضَارِ يَجْعَلُهُ الْإِنسَانِ لِغَنَمِهِ, how a person brings some wood and some tree branches, some leaves. فالأعرابي في البادية يجعل على الغنم حضار من الشجر. They would come and they would cover up their sheep with tree branches to protect them from the elements. Dried up tree branches. ومن العصب ومن العصبان ومن عصبان النخل, from the big wide trees, the big wide leaves or branches that go out wide of the date palm trees. You know, the date palm trees with the big wide leaves. You can use one of those things as a broom, you know, very big, gigantic leaves or branches that come off of them. They would be used to cover their sheep when it's very cold, when there are elements that they wanted to protect their sheep from. So the people were laid out like old, abandoned, and even rocks were built. Rocks were laid around to make a place for the sheep, trees, branches, and so on. Like that was just scattered about and left. They were like that. هذا الحضار مع طول الزمن والشمس والرياح يتفتت حتى يتلاشى. This thing that you would use to protect your sheep, how you would protect your sheep with this kind of usage of foliage and old trees and things, this would wear away and erode in time until there's nothing left of it. كان هؤلاء الأقوياء الأشداء المكذبين لرسولهم كانوا كهشيم المحتضر. These great people, these strong people, these severely strong people who denied and refused to follow their messenger, they ended up like this, like scattered about leaves and trees and branches and rocks and so on. أَيْكَ الْحَضَارِ حِينَمَا يَتْلَفْ, like this kind of material as it wears away. وَهَذَا مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, and that is from the signs of Allah, or the miracles of Allah, the Mighty and majestic. وَتَمَامِ قُدْرَتِهِ, it's from the perfection of his capabilities, or the completeness of his capabilities. وَسُلْطَانِهِ, and his authority and dominion. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, his affair is but that if he wants something, he merely says, be, and it is. And that's from Surah Yasin. فَكَانُوا كَهَشِيمِ الْمُحْتَضَرِ, and so they were like this, left scattered, debris left behind by people who gathered wood and tree parts for their animals. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, and verily we have made this Qur'an easy as a form of remembrance and reminder. So is there anyone who seeks admonition? That's again an oft-repeated verse in this surah. We've heard that many times already. The shaykh says, سَبَقَ تَفْسِيرُهَا, an explanation of this statement has preceded already. Remember the three things, just to revise that with you now. Three things that are considered dhikr that Allah has made easy through His Qur'an. What are those three things? Firstly, memorizing its wording. It's been made easy, right? Secondly, understanding the meanings. Books of tafsir, efforts have been made. A person who seeks the meanings of the Qur'an can find the meanings of the Qur'an. And then thirdly, taking it as an admonition. It's easy to find a reminder in the Qur'an to act upon. It's easy to find an admonition to reflect over in the Book of Allah. All of those three things have been made easy for people. Naam. وَالْمَعْنَى, and the meaning is, أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَسَّرَ الْقُرْآنَ, Allah has made the Qur'an easy. أَيَسَّرَ مَعَانِيَ, Allah has made its meanings easy. لِمَنْ تَدَبَّرَهُ, for those who contemplate over it. وَيَسَّرَ أَلْفَاظَهُ لِمَنْ حَفِظَهُ, and He has made the wordings easy for those who wish to memorize it. فَإِذَا اتَّجَهْتَ اتِّجَاهًا سَلِيمًا لِلْقُرْآنِ لِلْحِفْظِ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, if you set up a solid program through which you plan to memorize the Qur'an,
then you will find that Allah will make it easy for you. وَإِذَا اتَّجَهْتَ اتِّجَاهًا حَقِيقِيًّا إِلَى التَّدَبُّرِ وَتَفَهُمِ الْمَعَانِي يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if you began in a path or set up a program for yourself to learn and reflect over the book of Allah and learn its meanings, then Allah would make that easy for you as well. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَدْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Verily, we have made this Qur'an easy as a dhikr, as a form of reminder. So is there anyone who seeks to be reminded? وَهَلْ تَشْوِيقٍ. And when Allah says, فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ, is there anyone? It's to create interest and to create a desire within us to be those people. يُشَوِّقُنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَى أَن نَذْكُرَ وَأَن نَدَّكِرَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah is creating a desire, or Allah is encouraging us to have a desire and a want to take admonition from the Qur'an. فَنَتَّعِذُ بِهِ. So as to gain a benefit of being admonished by it. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ مِمَّنْ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ لَفْظًا وَمَعْنًا وَعَمَلًا. We ask Allah to make us from those who recite it as it should be recited, in words and in meanings and in action. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Verily, He is above all things with power. And with that, we'll stop for this evening halfway through page number 284 of the printed tafsir, that which is printed by the Shaykh's Charitable Foundation. And we'll begin, insha'Allah ta'ala, next Friday or the eve of next Saturday, what we call Friday night, after Maghrib, insha'Allah ta'ala, beginning with كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ لُوتٍ. And we'll look at the tribe or the nation of Lut and how they interacted with their messenger and how Allah punished them, insha'Allah ta'ala. هذا والله أعلم وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If there's a quick question, correction, or comment that's directly related to this material, we can entertain that just before we close. If you follow the path that the people who memorize the Quran follow, which is usually after Fajr, before Fajr, after Fajr, after Asr, consistently taking hints and suggestions from the people who are successful at memorizing the Qur'an, being serious through all of that, asking Allah Azza wa Jal for success in memorizing the Qur'an, then Allah will make it easy for you. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.